Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on miracle foods, cures from the Bible, right after this. Well, 3,000 years ago, before the science of meteorology was even thought of, King Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 1, verse 7, that all of the rivers run into the sea, and yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. Well, every year, the continents and islands of this earth pour down into the oceans a stupendous volume of water. It's about 286,000 cubic miles of water flow into the oceans every year. And for century after century, millennium after millennium, this has been going on, and the sea has not increased its level by so much as an inch. But how is this then possible? Well, we call it the circle or cycle of evaporation and precipitation. The writer of Ecclesiastes said that the ocean maintains its level in spite of this gigantic annual influx. And that's because the rivers go back to the place from whence they came, and indeed they do. Every drop of rain that falls climbs back upon the Creator's elevator of evaporation to form themselves into clouds and then ride back to the head of their toboggan slide to begin their journey all over again. Well, in the modern science of meteorology, all of this is understood and its laws are comprehended. That means modern science has now learned what the writer of Ecclesiastes knew 3,000 years ago, and that's just one more of the many examples of science in the Bible. And it's one more of the many lessons in my Mosaic Law School, conducted twice a year here at the Law School in Isabella, Missouri. If you'd like more information, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package. Remember, that's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and best of all, it's free of charge. Now, you can call and order yours right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Or call direct, 417-273-4967. Why don't you do it right now before you forget? All right, we're reviewing a book that is entitled Miracle Food Cures from the Bible, and we're talking about a food concoction called charoset. It's actually used at Passover by Jews. The Jewish people make this. It's kind of a dish, and it has some natural ingredients in it. I gave you the list of the natural ingredients the other day. It was made with apples and cinnamon, raisins, and some honey and a little wine, and you put all these things together, and we started going through the biological chemical compounds that are in these foods, just common, ordinary foods, you know, like raisins. And I showed you that, you know, if you're on a long trip and you need a little pick-me-up or a little boost or something to keep you awake, you drink coffee. And the reason we drink the coffee is because there's a chemical compound that's in that coffee that we need to ward off sleep. On the other hand, if you wanted to go to sleep, if you wanted a sedative, there are natural foods that have chemical compounds that'll put you right to sleep, and this charoset's got one of them. Now, a powerful sedative in charoset that can give you a good night's sleep, the walnuts contain a powerful sedative, and it's called ellagic acid, E-L-L-A-G-I-C acid, that can put you in la-la land long enough to get a good night's sleep. It's in the meat of the walnut, and American Indians used to use walnuts to stupefy fish. They'd simply sprinkle some shelled, crushed walnuts in the water. The fish, who never saw walnut chunks before, would eat them and soon be asleep. In suspended animation, the fish would float to the surface where they were easily scooped up by the Indians. And it is a little known fact that the sweet aroma of walnut wood from shavings and sawdust has the relaxing and soothing effect similar to smoking marijuana. Walnut wood is not on any controlled substance list either. It's a natural tranquilizer given by nature for comfort and pleasure. Skin blemishes just seem to disappear as if by magic. You know, certain skin blemishes, ringworm, and even warts are just to disappear, or just seem to disappear as if by magic, whenever green or immature black walnut is used on the skin. Says Dr. John Heinerman, just take a couple of incisions into the outer hull of a green walnut, rub the juice on whatever you want cleared up. If you experience a slight burning sensation or brown stain, there's no need to worry. These will soon pass, he says, adding that practically all kinds of warts, dark, ugly, aged spots, and ringworm have been successfully eliminated with this treatment. And he says that 2 tablespoons of walnut leaves added to boiling water, stirred, covered, and removed from the heat and allowed to steep for 30 minutes is an excellent wash for acne. And that older people who have been troubled with eczema and psoriasis reported considerable relief when washing their affected body parts with the same tea several times a day. He says it not only relieves the itching and inflammation, but actually helps the skin to heal. Burdock root is sometimes added for greater effect, he says. A tablespoon of coarsely chopped dried burdock root is simmered for 10 minutes before the walnut leaves are added, and the mixture is steeped for 40 minutes. You can also drink this tea, he says. And according to English herbalist Maud Grieve, the bark and leaves of walnut are of the highest value for curing herpes, eczema, and for healing indolent, painless ulcers. An infusion tea of 1 ounce of dried bark or leaves, slightly more of the fresh leaves, to the pint of boiling water, allowed to stand for 6 hours and strained off, is taken in wine glass full doses 3 times a day. This same infusion being also employed at the same time for outward application. Obstinate ulcers may also be cured with sugar, well saturated with a strong decoction of walnut leaves. And walnuts are exceptionally good for those suffering from constipation. When drugstore laxatives do not produce the desired results, says a well-known European herbalist, walnuts may solve the problem. They're recommended for people with liver disorders, and although most liver patients cannot tolerate fat, they will find that moderate quantities of walnuts will agree with them very well. Now, the miracle of Chirisat, the palm tree with its long tapering stem rises about 80 feet or more, and its great terminal cluster of feathery leaves that make it stand out conspicuously has always been a symbol of spiritual uplift, hope, and survival. Dates, the fruit of the palm, have been called the food of the desert. So common were they in the Jordan Valley that Jericho was known as the city of palm trees. It's recorded in Deuteronomy 34, verse 3. And whatever other foods the multitudes lacked during lean years, they always had dates, since the average palm produces about 100 pounds of date fruit every season for about 100 years. The palms grew in abundance, always near water. Whenever a weary traveler saw palm trees, it was a sure sign of food and a water supply nearby. Now, Chirisat ingredients studied for anti-cancer activity. Dates, the fruit of the palm, are being studied for anti-cancer activity, according to medical botanist Dr. James Duke, former head of the Germplasm Resource Laboratory of the United States Department of Agriculture, in his book, Medical Plants of the Bible. A nut cataplasm, a poultice made from crushed date pits, is said to help testicle tumors. The fruit, prepared in various manners, is said to remedy cancer of the stomach and the uterus, abdominal tumors, hardnesses of the liver and spleen, and ulcerated and non-ulcerated cancers. Dr. Jonathan Hartwell, formerly of the National Cancer Institute in Bethesda, Maryland, carefully screened thousands of plants for anti-cancer activity, and his reports appeared in Plants Against Cancer, a survey in the scientific journal Loidea, 1967-71. And Hartwell cites the medicinal use of dates in connection with cancers, indurations, or tumors of the abdomen, gum, liver, mouth, parotids, spleen, stomach, testicle, throat, uterus, and viscera. Medical anthropologist Dr. John Heinerman says that a drink made of fresh pitted dates in any kind of juice, orange, carrot, or pineapple, would be the most logical way to take it internally, while a handful of pitted dates made into a puree could be spread on external eruptions with apparently satisfactory results. The immediate services of a doctor should always be sought in matters as serious as these. Self-treatment is not recommended, and the use of dates should be regarded as an unproven but apparently harmless supplement to existing cancer therapy if your doctor approves. Let me underline that. If your doctor approves. Do you notice here a guardian-ward relationship, that you don't have capacity to make decisions for yourself? You need a doctor's authorization before you do that. I reject that notion. Now, that's just me personally. I don't need any doctor to approve anything that I do. I don't need to go to a master-servant relationship to have somebody tell me what I should or should not do. But the author of the book has to do this and has to put in these kinds of warnings, because if he doesn't, the Prentice Hall people over there could be held liable for a lawsuit in the event that somebody used the information out of this book, didn't like the results that they got, and then sued them and said, these people are practicing medicine without a license. So throughout the book, you'll find these caveats. And you want to make sure that you tell your doctor. Well, let me tell you, the minute you tell your doctor, your doctor's going to say, my God, that's crazy. You don't want to do that. That's preposterous. Well, it makes all the sense in the world. The allopathic medical profession has a monopoly on medicine by law. I mean, they've gone to the legislatures. It's against the law for you to treat cancer. Cancer is a copyrighted trademark. That's why, like Coca-Cola, I mentioned this to you last time. I think it's like Coca-Cola. You know, you can't go out here and manufacture and sell some substance and call it Coca-Cola. No, without the co-company's license. Same thing is true with cancer. You can't go out and treat cancer. Now, it's not called cancer in the Bible. It's called the botch of Egypt. The botch of Egypt. Now, you can treat the botch of Egypt, but you know, if you went, oh my God, you look like you've got the botch of Egypt, people look at you like you're stupid. Cancer, everybody recommends or recognizes, and then they can recommend you to an oncologist. See? And so, yeah, well, now that we've labeled it, and this is the importance of labeling these disorders. You've got to have a name for the disorder so that we know what to sell you. So we say, well, you've got pyorrhea. Oh, my God, yeah, now we know what to sell you. Oh, you've got cancer. Oh, well, now we know what to do for that. If I said you've got the botch of Egypt or you've got the scab or the scald, you know, you'd look at me and you'd say, well, what the hell is that? And notice that throughout the book that you've got to have your doctor's approval. As if you and I are incapable of thinking for ourselves or making decisions about our own bodies without somebody's professional approval. Professional approval from a society of doctors who cause 130,000 deaths a year from iatrogenic disease by their own admission, who diagnose 50% of your ailments incorrectly. 50% of the doctors are on some kind of a drug like cocaine or heroin. And these are the people that we're supposed to go to get their approval. Have we taken leave of our senses? But again, you can't blame the author. He's got to do this because if he doesn't and somebody gets a bad result or a result that they don't want, they sue the publisher, they sue the author for practicing medicine without a license. Well, so much for free speech. See, we used to have what we call free speech in this country, but you can have free speech as long as it doesn't become commercial speech, and cancer is commercial speech. Now, the miracle of Chiraset that helps prevent thinning bones. Remember, when you're watching the news at night, you know they'll have this disease, women get it, I forgot the name of it now, but they're talking about osteoporosis, that's what it is, osteoporosis. Well, is osteoporosis something that just came about because somebody invented a name in the last 100 years, copyrighted it, patented the products that we used to treat it, or has this osteoporosis been around for 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 years? And if so, what were people in all, let's say, the American Indians doing about that osteoporosis 3,000 years ago? Did they have a treatment? Did the Eskimos have a treatment? The Aztecs or the Inca Indians? You know, does anybody else in the world know what to do with thinning bones? Is there a cause for thinning bones, and can we identify the cause and eliminate it? And if we do have thinning bones, osteoporosis, is there something that we could do for it? Now, don't use the word osteoporosis because it's a copyrighted trademark of the American Medical Association. Like Coca-Cola, don't use that. But thinning bones, that's, we can use that. You know, we could call it the thinning bone disorder. Now, dates are rich in boron. Remember, we're talking about these various and sundry biological chemicals that we find in herbs and foods that give us those minerals, vitamins, amino acids, and enzymes that we have to sustain life. And if you're short of these and you develop some symptoms, there are herbs that you go to, just like going to coffee. In order for you to stay awake, you know, you go drink coffee because of the chemical in the coffee. That's what you're really after, is that chemical. I mean, if you could synthesize this caffeine, you know, synthesize it and put it in a pill, then they call it no-dose. Or they've got some trademark that they put on there. And so over the counter, you can go buy these and you can pop these pills, you know. Or you can buy a juicer and you can juice these various vegetables and fruits and drink the juice. And oftentimes, remember I was on Reno not too long ago, and there's a health food store out there called Wild Oats, and they've got a juice bar. And you just kind of sidle up to the juice bar, and they've got a menu up there, you know, kind of like McDonald's. And you can order a celery juice or carrot juice, or you could order wheatgrass juice or whatever you want. Now, the people that frequent those kinds of establishments are pretty savvy people, and they already know that there are certain nutrients that your body needs. So if they display a symptom, they say, oh, my God, I'm short of vitamin A, or I'm short of vitamin B6, I'm short of vitamin B17. I've got the symptom. I've got to go do something about that. And so They go out to the juice bar and say, hey, I got to have some wheatgrass. And then they pay a couple bucks and they buy that. Now, the average Joe six-pack truck driver, you know, or Sally soccer mom, they don't have a clue as to health and nutrition. That's why their teeth are rotten out, and that's why they're sick, and they have all these diseases, and they're obese, and one thing or another. Now, remember, these dates then are rich in boron. Boron is a mineral that you need. It's a mineral that can prevent the thinning of bones that occurs with age. Osteoporosis, thinning bones, a boron deficiency. New research shows that boron dramatically increases blood levels of natural estrogen, a hormone that prevents the thinning of bones known as osteoporosis. After menopause, bone loss occurs in women at a tremendous rate, particularly in the hips, knees, and spine. And it happens to men also at an advanced age. But the disease is noticeable far sooner than that in women. Well, Dr. Forrest H. Nielsen of the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Human Nutrition Research Center. I want you to notice this. Did you notice all these doctors in here? Dr. Forrest H. Nielsen. I've mentioned this before. I'm going to mention it again. Almost all of these discoveries are made by allopathic medical doctors. But then they don't use them because there's no money in it. Remember the ESSIAC story I told you last week? This book has the ESSIAC formula, how to buy the raw materials, you know, like sheep sorrel. Just go into the health food store and you buy 2 pounds of sheep sorrel and 2 pounds of this. And then it gives you the exact ingredients and how to steep them and how to make the tea for $40. $40. My God, cancer therapy starts at $100,000. And you could do the same thing and actually cure your cancer with ESSIAC for $40. Can you see why doctors will not recommend ESSIAC? My God, it would destroy the cancer industry, which is worth $500 billion a year. About one-third of all the money spent on health care in the United States is spent on cancer. A third of it. 33 cents out of every health care dollar is spent on cancer. My God, the last thing we want is a $40 cure. I mean, let's just be intelligent people. Now, this thing of osteoporosis, I see this advertised on the 6 o'clock news with Bob Schieffer constantly. You know, they've always got some product out there, got thinning bones, or it's in Reader's Digest or in Newsweek magazine. And so, you know, women, they go out and they spend thousands and thousands of dollars, you know, buying these concoctions and one thing and another. And what do we find out? The medical profession already discovered years ago that it's a boron deficiency. That's what causes it. Boron, a mineral. And the older you get, the less your body can absorb. And then the more we farm in our minerals in our soil is depleted by 85%. Ladies, you can't get enough boron out of the foods that you eat. And so your bones rot away. And so what they're really selling you for all these thousands of dollars is this secret. Boron. That's all. And Dr. Joel Wallach, remember that story on rare earths, says, hey, listen, for 50 cents a day, about the price of a cup of coffee and a Winchell's donut, you can buy these mineral supplements and solve that problem. 4 bits a day. Let's call it a dollar a day. I don't know if he said 50 cents, but a dollar a day would be $365 a year. For $365 a year. And now, you're paying $9,000 a year for health insurance. I don't, but most people do. I take these supplements, and I don't need the health insurance. So for $365 a year, I save $9,000. I know I'm just a cheapskate, but then that's the way life is. So tuck that one away in your heart. And then Dr. Forrest H. Nielsen of the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Human Nutrition Research Center found that when postmenopausal women got 3 milligrams of boron a day, their calcium losses dropped by 40%. All right, now, your bones are made up of calcium. So you go to the store and you drink a lot of milk, don't you? And that's because milk is just full of calcium. And they're not lying to you. See, when the milk industry comes along and says, drink milk. Milk is full of calcium. They're telling you the truth. They're really telling you the truth. But it's a falsehood because, you see, once the milk has been pasteurized, the enzyme that you have to have in the milk to digest the milk, to absorb the calcium, has been destroyed. So the calcium passes right through your body, and you can't absorb it. Isn't that just special? It gets worse than that. Because without the enzyme, you can't digest the fat. And if you can't digest the fat, it goes through your walls, stomach walls, and it lodges in your arteries and plugs up your arteries and gives you atherosclerosis, and now you're going to have a heart attack. You know, food is a very important subject. Food is very important. It's like law. And food is based upon law. It's natural law. That's all. And so in Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14, God comes along and explains those laws. He says, don't eat this, but do eat that. There's 18 of these laws in the Scripture. Now, I don't deny that Italian salami tastes real good. And I don't deny that a Big Mac or a Wendy's super juicy Gruberbruder is really tasty. But the bottom line is that fat is a killer. That's the bottom line. It may taste good, but it's a killer. And so you have to make a decision. Most people don't make an informed decision because they have no knowledge upon which to make that informed decision, which is why we like to review a book from time to time, which explains from the point of view of science. And the Bible is a science book. It's just full of science. But it's filled with science from a revelatory point of view. That is, the Creator, who knows the answer to the boron-calcium connection, explains that in the Scripture, not in scientific terms, but in layman's terms, and says, eat this, but don't eat that. Kind of like a kid. You know, he's 5 years old. And you say, eat your broccoli. Now, that's a scientific statement. That broccoli is good for you. That's a scientific statement. It's true. It's accurate. It's correct. The kid doesn't understand it. So why don't you explain biochemistry to him? Hell, he can't even spell the word. So of what value is it? So the Bible doesn't explain to you in scientific terms that we, by the way, have created with five-syllable, double-jointed, knee-action words to show how smart we are with the letters after our name.
And so God says, well, if it's got a cud and shoes, it's cud, and has cloven hooves, that's a good deed. See, you could be an Aborigine in Australia and understand that. You don't have to be a scientist. And through the Bible, you find these various and sundry herbs. Well, these various and sundry herbs are for the purpose. And they have been discovered and known for thousands of years to cure various diseases. A disease is simply an affliction that's caused by a nutritional deficiency or by a toxic condition. Just like scurvy is caused by vitamin C deficiency. And if you want to alleviate your sleepy feeling, you need caffeine, and so you drink coffee. I mean, you know, those are simple things that we know and understand. Well, it doesn't take a real smart person to figure out that, gee, I wonder if there's other foods that have other chemicals in them, especially if there's 90 of them, you know. Now, God never explained to us that there's 90 of these minerals, amino acids, and vitamins. We figured that out. I mean, we're real smart people, and it takes a lot of talent to do that. But now that we've figured it out, now what is it that each one of those minerals treats? And remember, those Ojibwa Indians up in Quebec knew how to cure cancer long before anybody in allopathic medicine could figure out how to spell the names of the herbs in the formula. It's called Essiac. And this book has the entire formula with the exact percentages, the exact stuff that you need to go down to the health food store, buy, take it home, chop it up, and cook. It costs you $40. $40 to do what $100,000 cannot do at the medical doctor's establishment, because the doctor can't cure cancer. And he tells you that. We don't know what causes it, we know what the cure is, but we got a treatment. And our treatment sometimes cures 37% of people. And if our treatment doesn't kill you and you live for 5 years, we call it a cure. Now, without boron, your body can't retain calcium, but the average American gets only half of the boron that he needs. And this may explain why people who take lots of calcium tablets and eat lots of high-calcium foods still suffer from osteoporosis. Kids, you could eat 5 pounds of calcium a day, and if you don't have boron, it just passes right through your body. And that's a scientific fact discovered by the medical doctors. Now, how come the medical doctors don't tell us that? Well, because boron is so damn cheap, you can go buy a boron supplement. All you ladies with osteoporosis, just go buy boron. I mean, you know, you don't have to. Do you need to go consult your medical doctor to figure that out? Do you have to go knock on somebody's door and say, you know, I'm really so damn dumb, I can't put two and two together. Doctor, what do you think about boron? You know, it would seem like to me, you know, the people that can read and write. You know, if you were an Aborigine, you couldn't read and write, and you're out here eating locusts and wild honey, you know, I'd say, well, maybe that guy does need a little guidance and direction. But, you know, most of you people listening to me have letters after your name, for crying out loud. You call yourselves real smart, and you got plaques up on your wall over there that attest to how smart you are. I mean, you can't read the literature and figure out for yourself, you know, well, geez, here's what I need to do. Dates, grapes, raisins, beans, almonds, and honey, all Bible foods are the richest sources of this essential mineral, boron, that literally hold your bones together. Let me repeat that. The foods that contain boron, dates, grapes, raisins, beans, almonds, and honey, all Bible foods, contain this boron. Now, if you don't like dates and you still need boron, you know, you can go down to the health food store and buy the mineral supplement. Or like this guy, what was his name? Joel Wallach, you know, he sells a vitamin mineral supplement package, and there's other companies that do the same thing. I got to give you a reminder here before we go on that you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law School and the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the U.S. and worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives. It can be accessed through the webpage. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. And the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. The sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. And the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse or recommend are going to reciprocate. Most of the authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be wholly endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. The opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, sponsors, management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct, 417-273-4967. This Charoset also is good for underactive thyroid, kidney stones, heart pain, candida, obesity, it's a sedative, skin blemishes, constipation, thinning bones, celiac sprue disease, it's a bactericide. There's many other ailments healed by Charoset, such as vaginitis, multiple sclerosis. Now, see, that's a copyrighted trademark again, multiple sclerosis. You can't advertise that. Now, the medical doctor says, we don't know what causes multiple sclerosis, but we've got the name, and we've copyrighted it. Kind of like these, remember all these guys that were going out here, and they were taking names, and they were claiming those names. This is before the big corporations, you know, on the Internet. And so they'd run out, and they'd grab the name. Like, all right, we have the name georgegordon.org. And so we went in, and we claimed that name. And it's kind of handy, because my name is George Gordon, and we wanted it on the educational channel. And so we went and claimed georgegordon.org. Well, let's suppose that before I did that, somebody else said, you know, that guy George Gordon's got a radio program, and one of these days he'll want to get on the Internet. And so we'll go down and we'll claim that. And so they could have gone down and they could have claimed that name, georgegordon.org. And then I would come along and say, well, I'd like to get this website, and I'd like to call it georgegordon.org. And some guy would come to me and say, wait, Gordon, we've already got that name. And if you want it, you got to pay us so many dollars for it. So some real smart guys that got in there, and they claim names like Coca-Cola and PepsiCo and, you know, Colonel Chicken. And so by doing that, they got in ahead of the crowd. And then when these corporations said, well, we'd like to get a webpage. And that's what these medical societies do. So they go out here and they take a name like MS, multiple sclerosis, and then they advertise that name constantly on the television. Cancer, multiple sclerosis, stroke, heart disease, you know, they've got those names. Now, remember in the Bible, you know, people had cancer years ago. And so in the Bible, God called it the scab, the itch, the running issue. You know, he's got names for them. But those aren't the copyrighted names. You know, they've copyrighted names, you know, like Hansen's disease today. See, that's called leprosy in the Bible. And so leprosy, you know, is not a copyrighted trade name. It's a generic term. And so the medical profession came along and said, well, we can't have this leprosy out here. So what we'll do is we'll call it Hansen's disease. And then we'll develop drugs and chemicals over here, and we'll patent those. And then when somebody comes in here with leprosy, we'll tell them they got Hansen's disease. And we'll go out and sell Hansen's disease, Hansen's disease, Hansen's disease, and we'll sell away from leprosy. Well, you know, God and Jesus were curing leprosy a long time before the allopathic medicine doctors came up with a copyrighted trade name called Hansen's disease, or multiple sclerosis, or muscular dystrophy. You know, these diseases have been around forever because they're caused by mineral deficiencies. You know, osteoporosis is a copyrighted trade name, but thinning bones has been around for a long time. And thinning bones is caused by calcium deficiency, which is exacerbated by boron deficiency because you can't assimilate the calcium without the boron. And this is a scientific fact discovered by the medical doctors. But it's hidden away, just like cancer. See, when they came up with this Laetrile, remember that Laetrile was discovered by the Mayo Clinic. That's your cancer dollars at work. You know, you people go out and you work hard and you march and you run and you marathon and you raise all this money and you give it to these cancer research organizations. And then when they find a cancer drug or a cancer therapy that actually works, they bury it. And that's what they did with Laetrile. That's what they did with Essiac. Essiac was discovered by Renee Cassie, and she was a nurse, just an ordinary, everyday, garden variety hospital nurse. And some patient came in and said, well, this is what she did for cancer. She wasn't in there for cancer. She's in there for something else. And this nurse took it to the medical doctors. The medical doctors tested it, showed that it worked, and used it for a long time until the medical association decided, wait a minute, this stuff works. We can't have that. We can't cure cancer for $40. We get $100,000 for curing cancer, for treating cancer, and we sure as hell don't want this formula out there curing cancer for $40. That's what it costs in the year 2006 to cure cancer with Essiac, which, by the way, was discovered by, in its modern form, by allopathic medicine doctors, who, by the way, got it from the Indians. But then there's lots of cures that we have today that came from the Aztecs or the Chinese or the Filipinos or the American Indians or somebody else. But we changed the names of them so that we can sell it and commercialize it. That's why I wouldn't give a dime to the American Cancer Society, because they've already come up with two cancer cures and buried both of them and then locked people up in prison for using them. You can forget about a cancer cure. Hell, they've already come up with 10 and buried them. We don't want cheap, inexpensive cancer cures. Now, Renee Cassie did. She wanted to treat all you people with cancer out there practically free of charge, or at least dirt cheap, or at least for $40. And hell, they threatened to put her in jail her whole life. They never did, but they were constantly threatening and hassling and harassing her. And by the way, this book called Miracle Food Cures from the Bible has the Renee Cassie Essiac formula in the book. I mean, it's got the whole story here. And it's got all of the percentages, you know, the Turkish rhubarb. And the other day I said Turkish rhubarb. Well, it's actually the name of an herb. I thought, well, they got rhubarb from Turkey. Rhubarb, too, is relatively safe, but is a strong laxative that should not be used by pregnant or nursing women. It goes on to explain to you here what the pharmacology of this of each one of these Essiac herbs is. Burdock, remember, was part of it. And it's called A Closer Look at Essiac. I'm going to just skip over here while we still got a few minutes here. Here's a closer look at Essiac. Three of the herbs in Essiac have been mentioned individually at one time or another by various experts as having anti-cancer properties. And three out of four of these herbs are from the Bible. Now, it's a miracle herb. Writing about sheep sorrel, a bitter herb from the Last Supper, famed French herbalist Maurice Messigue, I guess, M-E-S-S-E-G-U-E for you French people out there, Messigue, says that certain doctors in the 16th and 17th century came near to regarding it as a miracle herb for cases of infection, fever, scurvy, and poisoning. Then they go on to tell you about sheep sorrel and one thing and another. Then we come to burdock. Well, burdock is one of the many burr-producing plants of Palestine, referred to in Isaiah 34:13 and Hosea 9:6, according to experts cited in Plants of the Bible by Harold M. Moldinke, Ph.D., and Alma Moldinke. Two Hungarian scientists in 1966 found considerable anti-tumor activity in a purified fraction of burdock. A chemical in burdock called arctiginin. I don't know how to pronounce that exactly. I'll spell it for you. It's A-R-C-T-I-G-E-N-I-N. Arctiginin was identified as a growth inhibitor in 1970, published in Chemotherapy. Japanese researchers at Nagoya University in 1984 found in burdock a new type of substance, which they named the B factor for burdock factor, that reduces cell mutations, published in Mutation Research. Burdock is active in the test tube against HIV, Bulletin of World Health Organization, 1989. Burdock is one of the best and safest herbal medicines, say Steve Brill and Evelyn Dean. Many people swear by this herb, relating miracles that would put many doctors to shame. Burdock is used for liver dysfunction, urinary tract disorders, and weight loss as a general detoxifier and immune system stimulant. It helps people without clear-cut pathologies who just don't feel well. Notice that it's an immune system stimulant, and it's your immune system that's going to kill the cancer and throw it out of your body. And these herbs that are mentioned here in the Bible over and over again, experimented with, used by people for thousands of years, they've been buried by modern medical practice, especially here in the United States, because, you know, we're indoctrinated here. Indoctrinated. And it starts out when you're just a child, you know, just a baby, because your mother takes you to the pediatrician. Hell, it starts before you were born. Your mother goes to this pediatrician before you're born. And then after you're born, she just constantly keeps taking you back to the pediatrician. By the time you're 5 years old, it's the only thing you know. You've been to the doctor. You've been to the doctor's office. You've been to the pediatrician once a month all of your life until you're 5 years old. One old Catholic pope made an observation. I think it was Pope Clement. He said, you give me a kid till he's 7 years old and he'll be a Catholic for life. Well, my God, by the time you take a kid to the doctor until he's 7 years old, that kid's going to be a medical freak for the rest of his life. It's the only thing that this kid knows. If he gets sick, if he has any kind of a problem, he knows that he's got to go to the doctor. He can't think for himself. And for people like that, who cannot think for themselves, then probably the doctor is your solution. It's probably the best thing that you've got going for you, because without a brain, people that are brain dead are unable to make these kinds of decisions of and by themselves and for themselves. And that being the case, well, you need a solution, don't you? So you got to go to your guardian and get his approval before you can do anything. Now, there's a few of you people out there that can think for yourselves, you know, and if that's the case, that's why I'm recommending this book and reviewing it for you. It's called Miracle Food Cures from the Bible, written by a guy named Reese Dubin, R-E-E-S-A-D-U-B-I-N. Reese Dubin, published by Prentice Hall. Just that simple. Now, let me see if I can find Essiac back here. Yeah, here we go. It's on about page 70, 69, Compelling Testimonies. I covered this with you the other day in reading the Essiac story. And the relief of pain in many difficult cases witnessed by the doctor. He probably got this information out of the Essiac report. Compelling Testimonies. Now, this Essiac report that I reported to you here last week does not have the formula in it. It's got the herbs, all except the bloodroot, but it doesn't tell you very much about it. But here's a book that's got the exact formula in it, How to Make Essiac, on page 77. And it must be stressed at the outset that in giving this information, no cancer cure is claimed. No one can guarantee pain relief or cures, nor is any food a cure-all for any ailment. You're advised to seek a doctor's advice immediately for any condition you may have. Self-treatment is not recommended, nor should any foods listed here be used as the sole means of treatment of any ailment unless your doctor approves. Let me ask you this. Unless your doctor approves. I'm going to underline it. Let's go back 100 years. Let's go back to 1906, before allopathic medicine could or did or had the kind of power that they've got today. And let's suppose we had cancer back in 1906. And we go up to this Okoboji, is that what it was, or some Indian tribe up there in Quebec, and we say, hey, listen, I got this terrible tumor growing on my arm here. What do you think I ought to do about that? Well, what in the hell were you going to do in 1906? Go to your local allopathic physician, get his permission? Let's go back 200 years. You know, cancer was around 200 years ago. Did you know that? Hell, they dug up mummies out of Egypt and had cancer, for crying out loud. People died of cancer in Egypt thousands of years ago. People had cancer. What did they do to treat cancer 3,000 years ago? What does people do? Go to their local medical doctor? You know, kids, allopathic medicine, you know, this drug-based pharmacological medicine, only 100 years old to start with. 200 years old at the outset. If you go back to revolutionary times and you start getting these quacks, you know, that are over here cutting your arteries here and letting you bleeding toxins out of you. Bloodletters, barbers. I mean, come on, kids, let's grow up and get real. Now, these modern medical doctors today, go to one of them and tell them, you know, ask the guy, well, what causes cancer? And can you cure it? Well, you know, there you are. Now, these miracle foods of the Bible, you know, we're talking about the proven chemical concoctions that have been tested by the cancer laboratories and then shelved, like Laetrile. We're not going to use that. Like chelation therapy was discovered by the medical profession and then shelved because it is so good and it's so cheap, they don't want it. Doesn't make any money. It's legal, and there are still a few doctors around, but there's getting to be fewer and fewer of them because the American Medical Association is putting the kibosh on the medical practitioners that practice chelation therapy. And you know, here in Missouri, there's only three cities that have chelation therapy: at Springfield, St. Louis, and Kansas City. Other than that, I don't think you can get chelation. But it works, and your local medical doctor, if you can find one that'll do it for you, is the guy to do it, and you can melt that plaque out of your arteries. You know, that atherosclerosis, just melt it right out of there. And I've told you that story a time or two. I won't get back and rehash it. But the story is that the medical profession discovered it, and then they bury it. And that's why I said there's no need to give money to these medical breakthroughs. Hell, they've already discovered it. I'll just bet you that there's a cure. I bet the medical profession, the allopathic medical profession, knows every cure for every disease and will not practice it because there's no money in it. You see, your immune system is cheap. And the only cure to your disease is your immune system. And your immune system will kill, cure, and dispose of any disease symptom that you've got if it's got the building blocks to do it. And the building blocks are the vitamins and minerals. And I showed you that with Dr. Wallach. And that's the way we do it with cattle. You know, we just don't have the time, effort, energy to go out and give our cows insulin, you know, for their diabetes. See, we don't have the money or the inclination to do bypass surgery on our cows and bulls in our livestock. So we have to prevent it, and we do that by giving them a mineral block. Remember that mineral block you put on the dining room table? You go buy it, you take three licks, and go about your business. Well, here's how to make Essiac. Today, premixed, commercially prepared Essiac is unapproved for marketing in the United States and Canada as an anti-cancer medicine. Unapproved by who? It's unapproved. Who is it that is unapproving it, or who is it that has not approved it? Okay, it's the American Medical Association. Okay, now let's try this. George Gordon wants to approve it. George Gordon approves Essiac for George Gordon. I want to use it. Now, I can get it. In fact, I can mix up my own. There's nothing in the formula that's illegal. Well, there is one item. It's the bloodroot. And in this book, they don't have the bloodroot in it either. And they call it the original formula. But I saw the original formula published and had bloodroot in it. And this one here. See, this is Prentice Hall, and they don't want to put in bloodroot because, see, bloodroot is not approved. In fact, bloodroot is like saying, if you want to make Essiac, you've got to have 3 teaspoons of hard rock cocaine. Well, it doesn't, but assuming that it did, you could not put that into print. You couldn't put it in print. So what they've done here with the Essiac formula, since it contains bloodroot and you can't put bloodroot in it because bloodroot is an illegal substance in the United States, you can't put it in the formula, you can't put it in print. And they didn't. They left it out. I just want to tell you that I saw the original formula as published and had bloodroot in it, but I read the original formula as published here in this book called Miracle Foods of the Bible, and it's not in here. Now, I got to ask, well, how come it's not in here? Well, you know, I know that as a lawyer that you can't do that. Any lawyer would tell you, and in fact, that's what Prentice Hall's legal staff told him, my God, don't you publish that. Don't you advise people that they've got to put cocaine or heroin or marijuana into this herbal remedy? See, those are illegal substances. Don't you ever tell anybody to put Laetrile in there. No, you can't do that. But they've got most of it in here, and this is valuable. I'm not telling you that it's not valuable. I'm just telling you I've got the whole story here. And so I favor the do-it-yourself method of preparing this herbal tea by buying the herbs that you need, mixing them together, and then steeping them in boiling water, because it's hard to tell whether a pre-mixed product follows Rene Cassie's exact formula. I wouldn't feel safe otherwise. And, well, they don't follow Rene Cassie's exact formula. But it's sheep sorrel, burdock, slippery elm bark, Turkish rhubarb bark. And there was one more in there. Wasn't there five? It seems to me there was five. Sheep sorrel, burdock root, slippery elm. 1 ounce of Turkish rhubarb pie, Turkish rhubarb root powdered, and it gives you the whole formula here, and you can do this yourself. Just you got to do your own searching about to find the blood root, and you can make it yourself. And the testimonials are in here. Remember, I gave you those the other day. I'm not going to go ahead and repeat myself there, but it's all here in this particular book. And again, the SEAC formula, the story that's in this book, is dynamite. It's worth the $100 that the book costs. If it cost $100, and I bet you it only cost 20. Probably gonna cost money. You might be able to find this book, Miracle Food Cures from the Bible by Reese Dubin, Dubin. You might find it in a health food store. Could find it maybe in a health food store. If not, if you were to ask in the health food store, could they get it for you? More than likely they could. But I'm sure you can get it from Amazon, or you can get it from Books a Million or any bookstore. Probably have it. I got the paperback copy of it here, and I'm just guesstimating $20, $19.95, something on that order. Miracle Food Cures from the Bible, published by Prentice Hall, written by a fellow named Reese, R-E-E-S-E, Dubin, D-U-B-I-N, Prentice Hall. Make sure you get a copy. We'll take it up right here next time when we come back here, and we'll take a look at peppermint. I mean, there must be 50 herbs in here, and they've taken the time to go through and give you the chemical compositions and the doctor's names, and oftentimes the institution, like Memorial Sloan Kettering, that discovered this, and then they bury it so that you can't have it. But it's been available for thousands of years. Foods from the Bible. Next time on the Law Hour and Editorial Review. So let me remind you that you have been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our webpage. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.